Fiat. January 2nd, 1938. In the divine will, miseries and weaknesses turn into the most beautiful conquests. All that is done in the divine volition is first formed in heaven. I continue my flight in the divine volition, and I was thinking to myself, the living in the divine will seems incredible. How can one live in it if the miseries and the weaknesses that one feels are so many, and the encounters, the circumstances? But as much as one feels them, it seems that the divine will wants to invest everything with its light and burn everything with its love, in such a way that nothing other than its will and love must exist between itself and the creature. But while I was thinking this, my dear Jesus, who is always on the lookout to spot and see whether there is anything in me which is not his will, told me, my good daughter, my jealousy for one who lives in my will is such that I do not tolerate a single thought or a weakness or anything else which does not have life in it. Now, you must know that in order to begin to live in my will, it takes a decision on the part of God and a firm decision to live in it on the part of the creature. Now, this decision is animated by a new life, by a divine strength, such as to render the creature unconquerable by any evil or circumstance of life. This decision is not subject to changes, because when we decide, we do not bother dealing with kids who make a joke of their decisions, but with those whom we know must persevere. Therefore, we give of our own so that this creature may not fall short. It may be that she feels the miseries, the evils, the weaknesses, but this means nothing because in the face of the power and sanctity of my will, these things die. They feel the pain of death and they flee. More so, since these miseries are not a birth from the human will, because her human will is sunken inside my will, and therefore cannot will anything but what I myself want. And many times my will even uses these miseries to make of them the most beautiful conquests, and lay its life upon them, forming its kingdom, extending its dominion, and converting the weaknesses into victories and triumphs. Indeed, with one who lives in it, all things must serve my will as the most beautiful love that the creature gives to he who forms her life. Almost like the stones, bricks, and rubble serve to the one who wants to build for himself a beautiful house. Now, you must know that before she comes to live in our will, we purify everything. We cover and hide everything inside our love, in such a way that we must see nothing but love in this creature. When our love has hidden everything, even the miseries, then does she take her place inside our will. Even more, every time she emits her acts, first she is purified, and then our will invests her and makes of her whatever it wants. My daughter, in my will, there are neither judgments nor judges, because the sanctity, the order, the purity, and the utility of our ways is such and so great that all must lower their foreheads and adore whatever we do. Therefore, do not lose peace. Don't be concerned with the miseries and circumstances, but leave them at the mercy of my will, so that it may make of them its portents of love. After this, he added, "My daughter, everything that the creature does in my divine will is first formed in heaven, in the eternal day which knows no night time. The entire celestial court is already aware that a creature of the earth has taken refuge in her celestial fatherland, which is already hers. But to do what? To enter into the center of the fiat and call its power and its creative virtue, in order to give it the opportunity to operate in her act. Oh, with how much love she is welcomed, not only by the divine volition, but also by the sacrosanct Trinity. They draw her so close to themselves, pour their balm over her act, and blow their breath into it with their creative power, forming such great wonders out of that act, that the whole of heaven feels such joy and happiness as to make the celestial regions resound with harmonious voices. Thank you, thank you, for having given us the great honor of being spectators of your will, operating in the act of the creature." So, heaven is flooded with new joys and new contentments, in such a way that all remain obliged and grateful, and all call her our welcomed. This more than celestial creature feels loved back by God with double love. She feels inundated with new seas of grace. And just as she rises up to heaven as the bearer of her acts, letting God form wonders in them, so does she descend again, becoming the bearer of all that God has operated in her act, flooding the earth and investing the whole creation, so that all may receive the glory and the joy of the marvels which the divine fiat has operated in the act of the creature. There is no greater homage, love, or glory that she can give us than to let us do whatever we want in her acts. We can do the greatest wonders without anybody lending us anything, and even without anyone telling us anything, just as we did in creation. No one said anything to us, but still, how many wonders did we not create? However, back then, there was no one, nor anyone who could offer us even just a sigh as a pretext for our love, and as a refuge in which to place our creative wonders. But now there are those who can tell us, and give us the multiplicity of their little acts, even the natural ones, since nature is ours too, and we can use anything to form the greatest wonders in the creature. Our love feels greater delight. Our power is more exalted in doing our greatest wonders inside the little circle of the act of the creature, rather than outside of it. After all, these are the usual pretexts of our love, which, in order to give, goes in search of the occasion to be able to say, "She gave to me, I gave to her." It is true that it is little, but she has kept nothing for herself. Therefore, it is just that I give everything to her, even myself.